And welcome to Rusted Junk, the 80s movie podcast. Do you dream about gremlins? How hard can you actually die? Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe? If those mean something to you, then you're in the right place. This season, we're all about a dip into the 90s. So over to Charlie, Amanda, Joe and Dom for the film.
And here's another trip into the 90s, where we'll be covering the 1998 film Blade. Blade is an American superhero film based on the Marvel Comics of the same name, which is the first installment of the Blade trilogy. The film stars Wesley Snipes as the title character, a human with vampire strengths, but not their weaknesses. Blade's mission is to rid the world of vampire evil. When he witnesses a vampire bite Dr. Kara Jensen, he fights off the creatures and takes her to a hideout. Alongside his old friend, Whistler, Blade attempts to help heal Karen while secretly waging war against vampires, using weapons based on their elemental weaknesses. The film was a commercial success. It grossed $70 million in the US, $60.2 million worldwide. It had mixed reviews, but it's been hailed as one of Snipes' signature roles. It has a 59% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 78% audience score and a 7 out of 10 on Amazon. Here's the trailer. Roll the credits.
You better wake up. The world you live in is just a sugar-coated topping. There is another world beneath it. The real world.
For thousands of years, they have existed among us.
You keep your eyes open.
They're everywhere. Chances are you've seen them yourself and didn't know it.
A secret nation.
Our livelihood depends on our ability to blend in.
With a lust for power.
We should be ruling the humans. These people are our food.
They've got their claws into everything. Politics, finance, real estate.
There's a war going on out there.
He makes the weapons. I use them.
Now, one will lead them to conquer mankind.
Tonight, the age of man comes to an end.
We're gonna be gods.
And one will try to stop him dead.
There are worse things out tonight than vampires.
Like what?
Like me.
Half human.
Blade's mother was attacked by a vampire while she was pregnant.
Half immortal.
You got the best of both worlds. All our strengths, none of our weaknesses.
He is their greatest fear and our only hope.
It's open season on all vampires.
Wesley Snipes, Stephen Dorff.
You're one of them, aren't you?
No, I'm something else.
Blade.
I think that was a pretty strong trailer.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. It's one of the better ones.
Yeah. If you Although don't want to watch after that, then yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say a lot about the movie, though. But it would make me watch it.
Yeah.
Isn't the musical was cool, too.
Yeah.
Without being a spoil sport, it is actually better than the movie.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, boy. It's going to be this bad. Yeah. Oh, dear.
The trailer tricked you.
No, the trailer is really exciting.
You don't think the what? Okay.
Yeah, well, I just the controversial one.
I just want to point you to the aforementioned viewer score on Rotten Tomatoes. This is an 8 out of 10. Okay, that's fine. We all have different opinions. It sounds like it's 3 against 1 again. But anyway, last bit of I'd like to start before we go to the. I'd like. Just say this isn't the first Marvel film. Joe, what's the first Marvel film?
You know what? I thought it was. So no. You got me.
1986's
The Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Ugh.
Howard the Duck is the first official Marvel.
No, you're right.
Based on the character in the comics. Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's not a shame. Amanda thinks it's above average. So, yeah, good company. Good company. But yes, before we get to that. Right, why did I pick Blade? Well, because in short, he's badass. The sequel is better than this film. The sequel is just jam-packed. It's almost like all the things that you're going to say that went wrong, you didn't like, I'm going to agree. I know Joe's already set one up where he's going to go, well, the CGI is a bit rubbish. It's 1990 CGI, okay? It's just, I know, yes, it is a bit rubbish. But the second film gets all the things out of the way and then says, right, okay, we'll put them right. I just, as soon as I saw this film and as soon as I went to the cinema to see this film, I just went, this is it. He is just brilliant. I know we'll get to him in roll call, but, you know, some of his earlier films had sort of teed me up for this. And I was really looking forward to it. And it didn't disappoint. I suppose if I'm going first, then I suppose I have to give my score. Well, here we go. This will be the highest one, listeners, viewers. It's an 8 out of 10 because there are flaws with the film. It's not perfect. It could be a lot better. But 8 out of 10, watchability. I just keep going back. I love it. Right. which one's going to assassinate first? Should we ease in with Dom? Or is that probably the wrong way to look at it?
Yeah. So I'm going to tread carefully here for a couple of reasons. Because one is I know this does hold a special place in one of my fellow hosts' hearts on the basis that they have a tattoo inspired by this film.
There we go, everyone.
Oh, boy.
Listeners can't see it, but if you want to tune into YouTube, he actually gets a tattoo in the second film.
Anyone who's just listening to this on the podcast, you just missed the gun show, so yeah,
that's the other one.
So it's reasonable to assume it holds a place in your heart.
It does, yes.
An 8 out of 10 place in your heart, so fair enough. And the second one, is anyone here familiar with a Reddit forum, AITA? Am I the asshole, or because I'm British, yes. I have to say, am I the asshole? As I sat watching this film, one of my overwhelming senses was, am I the arsehole? Because I just watched this film thinking, this is terrible. The acting shocking, the direction's sloppy, the plot's mediocre. But people I like and respect, not just people on this pod, but friend of the pod, Frankie G, when I told her we were doing this, she sent me a great choice chef's kiss emoji for this choice. And I know I do have a problem with the whole genre. I'm not a fan of the whole superhero Marvel universe world at all. So I'm looking forward to this pod to discover, as I fear I may be, whether or not I'm the arsehole. But for me, this is a 1 out of 10 film. Change my mind.
God!
My mind, yeah.
Good Lord!
What? Yeah, so if you thought you'd be gently...
Choose this film to give it to bring out your one card.
Yeah, I reserve the right to use a zero in the future. But yeah, for me, this is dross. Yeah, really poor. You know, what is there to like in it? Barely any redeeming features.
Oh my God, Dom!
I don't know where we go from here.
Shocked. I don't know what to say.
Well, as our listeners and my fellow hosts are reeling from that, then yeah, over to you.
Oh, I wish I had an alcoholic drink in front of me now.
One.
Right.
1 out of 10.
Well, yes, eased in by Dom there. Yeah. Well, thank you. It's great. Joe, give me something, man. I mean, throw me a freaking bone here.
Throw me a bone. So I never saw this in the movies because I was never a fan of Blade in the comics because I felt like vampires shouldn't belong in the comics, like in Marvel especially. I mean, that's like you got Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Captain America. Blade is just a vampire hunter. But also Dracula was in Marvel Comics too, which I never collected. So I never collected Dracula, I never collected Blade. So that's part of the reason why I never saw the movie. So this is the first time I'm seeing it. And I will say, Wesley Snipes was kick-ass. He was very good. And a lot of his movies he's really good in. And I did kind of do some research as to what happened to him. Because he should be a much bigger star and we should be seeing more movies with him in it, and he had a lot of problems, especially with tax evasion. Yeah.
happened.
I think he had a bad manager, because I think he could have been a lot better film.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I think he got a big head. But anyway, back to this movie, he was really good in this. I really enjoyed his performance. I enjoyed, you know, his moves. My name here, I have Vampire Hunter D. I can guarantee you none of you have seen that movie. It's actually a Japanese anime, which I think that Blade the comic book precedes Vampire. Is it precedes? Is before Vampire Hunter D came out in the 80s. And I think the comic book Blade came out in the 70s. Vampire Hunter D is a much better movie, you know, where it's about a vampire hunter who's, they call a vampire, who's half human, half vampire. I definitely would highly recommend it. It's more violent, it's more bloody, and it's just a work of art. I love that movie. This one, my big problem with it is kind of the story, is that I feel like I don't think anybody knows what they're doing in this movie. You know, like the vampires, like they could have prevented all the problems that they had with Steven Dorff's character. You know, it just didn't do anything for me. As a movie, I didn't think it was a great movie. It was a good action movie. It's kind of like, okay, I'd put it in the same category as most of Van Damme movies. You know, it's like, it's a guy's night out and, you know, or they got a six pack or something like that and they want to see a fun movie, watch this. But it's not going to win any Oscars. It's not a great story or anything like that, but it's a decent action film. So, I would give it I'd give it a 5 out of 10.
Goodness, we're going upwards. Although I fear that handing over to Amanda now, it's not going to go much more upwards. Maybe downwards, who knows? The roller coaster. While she's composing and getting,
she can't getting herself get the together. Words out.
I know, she's so eager to get it right.
Sorry, it's this darn cough, asthma. Okay, so it doesn't help when you've been ill for 2 months. Right, so I'm not as bad as I thought I was. I'm going to give the movie a 6.
Oh.
Woo!
Oh, I've got some.
I thought you lot would allies. Have liked it.
Yes, me too.
A unanimous loving, and I thought, oh God, I'm going to be the one that gives it a 6. Well, I brought the score up with the 6.
You did.
So for me, it was a kick-ass movie in terms of action. I did feel the plot was a little bit stumbly. It didn't really flow particularly well. It was a bit kind of disjointed. The scenes that I particularly liked were the one at the beginning, the opening scene.
Genius
scene. With the disco and...
Yeah, that was a very good scene.
And the meat factory and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool. And when the sprinklers sprinkled blood everywhere, I thought that was amazing. In fact, I'd love to have been at that party.
I wouldn't. Okay. Unless I was a vampire.
Well, yeah, if it's a vampire, it'd be great.
Well, I have vampire fantasies. So for me, it's fulfilling part of that, but not enough. I'm more of a Dracula kind of, you know, vampire's bride kind of thing, you know. But this is a good movie. I think the acting wasn't particularly of quality. I felt that it could have been, I don't know, I just felt there was something missing. The other superhero movies that we've got from Marvel, be it, you know, they are actually, you know, produced later, I felt they had substance to them, and I just felt that this was a little bit lacking. The plot line should have been good, but the delivery could do better.
Right. Okay.
But there are some good scenes in it.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
And
I agree.
I was thinking as I was watching it, I would really want them to actually revisit this movie and do it right.
Ah, it's funny you should say that, but unfortunately, yeah, it's so, yeah.
That's but not good... woke it. Don't woke it.
Unfortunately,
it as it should be.
Unfortunately, it's woked. Which is why it's in trouble. It was announced back in 2019, I believe, Joe, if I'm right, that they were going to do this film.
Maybe even earlier.
Writer strikes, change of directors, actors walking off the set and saying, I'm not coming back. As soon as the script got leaked, think it was to, what's his name, Doomlord, is it? Is it Joe?
Doomcock.
Doomcock, yeah. So the insider that gets all the scoops. He basically went, yeah, the script was going to put Blade, the title character, he was going to play fourth fiddle to three female leads. So basically he takes a back seat, but like the Mandalorian season 3, which is basically gets rid of the Mandalorian and installs a new one. Yeah.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. So the writer, it's on hold. As far as I know, they put it for like August, 2025.
Oh,
it's one of those films where you go, do you know what? If you're going to make it that way, just don't bother. Really? Yeah. Just don't bother.
No, it needs to be spot on. It needs to be. I like the Deadpool movies. There's comic humor in that. It's a good watch. It's fun, but it delivers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this needs to go that way, but darker.
Yeah.
That would be a good way to do it.
So far, I don't think it's ever going to be made. If it was up to me, I would bring in Spike Lee to direct the movie, you know, and have a predominant black cast. This is a hero that deserves something like that, you know. So I'd be all for that. But I don't think Disney has the mind to make rational decisions anymore. So we probably won't see it.
In the comic books, was Blade actually black then? Or was he?
Yes.
Not?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Right. And that's really cool then, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
That was quite different, I think.
My
it was written in the 70s.
My contribution to this discussion is I've just learned there's a shadowy influencer called Doomcock. Is that what I heard? Yeah. Just one letter away from Domcock. So I'll leave that vision in your mind.
Doom, yes.
Just to lower the tone a little bit. But yeah.
He is the thorn in the side of all the Hollywood, because he manages to get these scoops. People whistleblow to him. In fact, he told you what was going to happen in Indiana Jones. And I think, am I right? Is it worth saying that he was responsible for getting Indiana Jones changed? Because he got
it sounds like
script,
it.
Which is Indiana Jones. How did it originally end? Is that he died and she took over?
Yeah, like he died in the past. And so she took his hat and his whip. And then we got to see scenes of her in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, running away from the giant ball, rock, and you know, her in Temple of Doom in the Last Crusade.
Yeah, that's what they wanted her to do. So that he never existed, and it was always her that was Indiana Jones. So thankfully, because of his scoop, Disney went, we can't have that ending because it's not going down well at all.
Well, I'll have to check out this namesake of my penis and see what he's still
wears. Obviously, nobody knows his identity.
Some actually think it's me. I've been told many times that they think it's me.
Yeah.
Well, you can see the resemblance when you're looking at it, I suppose. Anyway.
No, it's just the way I discuss things on the podcast. We have very similar views. So,
although we weren't talking about it in the podcast, obviously. Weren't talking about it in Roll Call. That first scene with Tracy Lords, obviously, she's used to be a born actress. And she plays it really well. But that whole first scene, I think, was voted like one of the top 10 opening scenes of all time.
Ever?
Yeah.
I find that.
I was kind of like, well, it's just.
Who did the voting there? And where was this?
It's Wesley Snipes' family, basically, that did that. And
I mean, it's a cool scene. I didn't even know that was Tracy Lords.
That's Tracy's death. Look at you feigning surprise. I didn't know this.
I didn't.
This actress called Tracy Lords?
No, I know Tracy Lords, but I didn't know that was her. I forgot she was in the movie.
All right. Yeah.
Couple of things. One is, hopefully none of us really recognize it was Tracy Lords that closely, because if you've ever seen Tracy Lords in a porn film, you've watched child pornography, because she was a minor when those were filmed. And so the day after her 18th birthday. Tracy Lords... entire film, I think one exception maybe, was made prior to being 18. The whistle got blown on that, and all of her stuff.
God, I never knew that.
Yeah, no. Start panicking. Start deleting. So she was a minor, and the 2 days after her 18th birthday, she turned her back on that side of the industry, and then just became a regular actress and obviously spokesperson against the porn industry as well. So yeah, hopefully none of us were too familiar with her from that opening thing. I actually thought it was the same actress was in The Matrix when they met Neo for the first time. But anyway, if we're praising this scene after the abattoir, they go to this club, which I think Amanda said she would actually quite like to have visited. Can we just take a moment for that guy that she takes in there? He must say the word woo in an unironic way more than any man has ever said it before. All he did was like woo and dancing and looking excited until she goes a bit tits up for the guy. But yeah, woo. That would be my summary of this opening scene.
Blimey. All right, Mr. 1 out of 10. Let's get to roll call. Let's. It's a bit short roll call this time. So anyway, nevertheless, here we are. Here's roll call.
Roll call.
Okay, Wesley Snipes. Anyone?
Wesley Snipes' best film is New Jack City. I've got to the chase.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one. Demolition Man is my favorite with him in it.
Yeah. See, Demolition Man's kind of hard to. Yeah. I do like him in White Man Can't Jump.
Oh, I like him in that too. He's good. Like I said, he's a good actor in almost everything that he does, but damn, his career was cut short.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if anyone, for the prep, I didn't actually put Wesley Snipes' personal life. I'm sure Dom might have actually got something, or Amanda, I don't know.
Yeah, 3-year prison sentence for tax evasion, 2010 to 2013. Yeah, he did the old trip down to Chokey, and that was it. The career never really recovered after that, unfortunately.
Well, he was in The Expendables 3 for about 10 minutes.
Well, as I say, never really recovered.
The Demolition Man reuniting. Yeah, so New Jack City, Jungle Fever, White Man Can't Jump, Rising Sun. Don't remember that with Sean Connery?
Yep. Yeah.
He's good in that. Demolition Man. Passenger.
Yes. Always Bet on Black.
Always Bet on Black.
That was one of your little sayings for a while, wasn't it? I seem to remember. Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Passenger, what was it?
Passenger 57.
57, yeah.
And it's even referenced in other films. I've forgotten the film it was. I'm going to Passenger 57 his ass. I'm like...
Yeah, I've heard that too.
How's that film suddenly become into pop culture folklore? But yeah, still, there we are. Okay, well, that was quicker, Wesley Snipes. It's going to be even quicker for Stephen Dorff.
Stephen Dorff, my God. Wow. Yeah, go on.
Well,
I'd never seen him before. What's he been in?
I'd say he's been in one good film.
Well, film was that, Dom?
Backbeat, the biopic of the guy in the Beatles, Stuart Sutcliffe, the fifth Beatle, the one that.
Oh,
didn't...
right, yeah.
Okay. It's not a brilliant film, to be honest. You know, probably only of interest if you're interested in the Beatles, but I am. And he is good in it, I would say. He does a good performance, and it's kind of worth watching if you're in the mood. That's my glowing review of it. But that's his best film.
Do you know when that movie came out, roughly?
1994. So it's before this, yeah.
I'd like to see that.
A bit more of a serious actor at one stage. Did Power of Woman's breakthrough, then did Backbeat, and then Blade. So it was on a decent trajectory. But then I think he just became a bit, you know, his looks got him so far, and that was that, really. In a few music videos. So, with some actors, it's kind of difficult to figure out why their career didn't take off. We talked about Wesley Snipes, previous people. We've talked to Steve Guttenberg when we were focusing on the 80s and things like that. I think with Stephen Dorff, it's dead obvious why his career didn't kind of help much more beyond this, because he's just not that good an actor, I would suggest.
He's not very attractive either.
Okay, interesting, because I think he was a bit of a pretty boy back in the day.
Well, I didn't think much to him.
His name kind of sucks, too. I think I would change my name if I was going to be an actor.
Well, yeah, he's not blessed in this film. Stephen Dorff plays Deacon Ward. So, he's damned both ways, really. Joey Deacon being a playground insult in the United Kingdom for a number of years. But we can't talk about that anymore because the kid was disabled. Anyway, back to Stephen Dorff. So not one of the super hunks, obviously, but not that attractive, no?
When I looked down this, I was expecting to see loads of films that I recognised. I was like, oh, yeah, so it's all geared up and it's 80s films. I can't quite recollect what they are, but I'm sure I'll get a reminder. I'm looking at this list of films going, you know, it feels like Gross Point Blank. You know, I'm drawing a freaking blank here. I can't see anything that I enjoyed. Backbeat, I must have missed, Dom. I do apologise because I actually do remember liking that film. But then I'm looking, I'm going, so what is he going to be doing? I mean, you know, He's got a film coming out. It's in production at the moment called Bride Hard.
What?
Right, right. So somebody tell me, without looking, you don't need to look. What is that about?
Okay, it's a porn movie.
It's not, but it's a good start.
Bride Hard.
I'd watch it if it was. Oh, no, that's wrong, isn't it?
It's about a wedding that's invaded by terrorists, and the bride basically saves the day.
I've got to give it to you, but the synopsis, the two-line synopsis is, when a mercenary group takes a lavish wedding hostage, they have no idea what they're in for, as the maid of honor is actually a secret agent ready to rain hellfire upon anyone who would ruin her best friend's wedding.
What the?
Yeah.
It's a play on Die Hard, isn't it?
But the worst thing is, you expect to see Stephen Dorff's name in there and nobody else that you know. But Anna Chomsky, who was in My Girl with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson's in it. Jeez. And I'm like, what?
Definitely won't watch that then.
No, but you're kind of like, that's either going to be incredibly awful.
Yes.
Or I'll just stop you there. It's going to be incredibly awful.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
should we call the Bridemaids Hard instead of Bride Hard?
Ooh.
Can we all just take a moment to appreciate how good weddings can be, though? Last wedding I went to was so memorable. It was absolutely brilliant. So, yeah,
it was yours. So, yeah, I would hope it would be.
That was the last wedding you went to?
No, joking. That was good.
Okay.
Yeah, weddings are great.
I hate fucking weddings.
Here's the memorable weddings. Anyway, I've bogged this down. Let's go on to Chris Christopherson, yeah?
Yes. Over to you, Dom, on that one. I've got Convoy. That's about it.
He's the only credible person in this film. Let me just start with that. He's the only person who can act. I'm not a fan of Westerns either, as well as the Marvel Universe, but Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid is a good Western. If anyone's seen that, he was BAFTA nominated for that. That's about the closest we get to any Oscar bants on this pod today. A Star is Born, so these kind of big ticket...
Of course.
I think that was his big movie.
Yeah, although he was in Heaven's Gate, which is, for people who are interested in the history of Hollywood, got a load of people blacklisted. So it's an infamous Western, kind of took pot shots, was considered to be unpatriotic, anti-American sentiment to it. It's kind of worth watching for anyone who's got an interest in the history of film and the history of Hollywood. And that kind of cost him his A-list status, really. And more recently, less interesting films. But what's really interesting about Chris Christopherson is he's got this rich life outside cinema. So he was a Rhodes Scholar. So that's a scholarship program open to elite students of foreign, particularly Americans, I think, but not exclusively Americans. So people like JFK, I think Bill Clinton, whatever your personal opinions of them are, but, were Rhodes Scholars. He served in the US Army, was a captain flying helicopters stationed in Germany. He's a musician that's won a ton of Grammy Awards for his country and Western. So he's just got this kind of rich tapestry. He's lived his life well. He's got 8 children from 3 marriages, so he's not doing bad.
Not firing blanks then, is he?
No, and I don't know if anyone's a fan of Leonard Cohen. If you're in the right mood, he wants Leonard Cohen, the first 3 words from Bird on the Wire on his tombstone. Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight chair, I've tried my way to be free. I thought, he sounds like a sort of guy to go for a beer with, or maybe a glass of something stronger.
Yeah.
I like Chris Christopherson, and he's, I know there's some love in this pod for Wesley Snipes' performance in this, but for me, Chris Christopherson's the best thing in it.
And still, you never went above a 1. You're gonna couldn't even give 2 marks for Chris Christopherson.
When am I gonna get my chance to put the boot in? Have we finished roll call? Because everybody else has achieved nothing.
The Bloody Nightclub. So I mean, that's got to be at least a 2.
Let me just say before we move off roll call, N. Bush Wright, who plays the alleged world's most unconvincing doctor, Dr. Karen Jensen, and Donald Leagy, is that the main sidekick? Oh my goodness, their performances are just shocking. And they are all just jobbing actors. None of them had done anything before or since. And Bush Wright, only 7 of her films have got a hyperlink on Wikipedia, and those are obscure monstrosities like Zebra Head. That's one of her that's one of her more prominent films. So, yeah, trash.
One thing I found out when I was watching the movie. So, did you ever watch Family Guy over there?
Occasionally, yeah.
And then there was a spinoff, The Cleveland Show.
I'm familiar with it, not watched it much.
Well, Cleveland, yeah, is Peter's black friend, Cleveland. So his wife is the mother of Blade in this movie. She voices.
Oh, okay. Cleveland's so she did wife. Something then. Right.
Yeah, she does a lot of voiceover work. And I do want to say the two girls in this movie, they were hot. I really was, especially the mother. I thought she was really attractive. I could not believe that she's the woman that voices Cleveland's wife. So I was pretty impressed with that.
So what, the mother and the doctor?
I thought she was pretty hot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Without a six films not hyperlinked.
The doctor in the movie, though, it's really weird because, like, she obviously gets bitten and then she kind of leaves a job, but doesn't leave a job. And it's like, well, in real life, people be wondering where she is.
No, they would have gone, that crazed, burnt guy that ran through and started biting people in the thing. Maybe she's scared. She's taking a bit of time off
because
she doesn't want to come back and see the boogeyman again. Maybe.
Yeah, but it's like she's just literally abandoned her job. Her employers would be like, hang on a minute, where is she?
Yeah, exactly.
The hospital's a crime scene. It literally can't go in or out.
As someone with experience of dealing with American HR professionals, that just because you've been kidnapped by a vampire does not like get you off the hook. That's they expect you back on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, come on, get back.
Yeah.
Well, a guy died there too. I mean, the one that she was working with the autopsy.
Yeah.
So I think that they might have felt that she's missing or that she was kidnapped. They saw that she was kidnapped.
Yeah. No, he didn't die.
No, he died because he's in the pit.
He ended up being
at the end. Yeah, he did. But it seemed like he did. Well, they had to have buried him or something like that. And he was like he's not a vampire. I don't know how he got where he got.
All I'll say is I would pay to watch a film where Wesley Snipes goes and kills a bunch of American HR people. That I would, that would be 10 out of 10 in my book.
So you're equating them with vampires?
Well, blood-sucking parasites, there's some read across there, to be honest, yeah.
Wow.
I didn't jot it down from trivia, but I really should have done. When they were filming the scene, Donald Teague, that was him in the makeup and stuff, as obviously the burnt guy. When they were filming it, they realised that like something went wrong when he slipped. Basically, he'd had an old injury for his jaw where it dislocated. And when he slipped, it dislocated his jaw. So that when he got up, it was like, it basically looked like the jaw was hanging and all this burnt guy. And I was like, when I was reading that, I was like, keep that in the film. Yeah, definitely. Keep it there. It's going to look amazing. And just bung him an extra couple of grand and go, there you are. Don't worry about it. We'll fix the thing by you. Put it towards your swimming pool. Everyone's a winner. Right, we're off roll. Well, for people that didn't realise, we left roll call quite a while back. But yes, we are officially off it now. Just go into some of your, I was about to say minor annoyances, obviously major annoyances. Let's deal with it. Try and deal with it in chronological order if we can, but we might not be able to.
I did give it 1 out of 10, but I think the film starts okay. I'll go that far. That's about as much praise as I'll give it. So it starts with a woman being rushed into a hospital in the 60s. She's heavily pregnant. She's been bitten. That was kind of different. Cuts to Tracy Lords, bringing that guy into the club. There is a lot of wooing, as we've said. And by wooing, I don't mean falling in love. I mean literally repeat the word woo in an overexcited tone for a while. And then what... I think my problem with the genre, my problem with this film is it's just style over substance. In the, Blade appears at this club when it all kicks off and the kind of cheesy 90s techno's going. And it's all just kind of quick edits. It's his cheekbones. It's his kind of posture. They dutifully kind of line up in single file and wait for him to kill the person in front of them before they launch their kind of inept attack on him. And I just think like all of the types of film, you'd have a higher expectation of like acting and plotting and the editing, but for some reason superhero films this just seems to get a free pass, where because it's kind of kick-ass and because it's kind of fun, you just have to accept what's put in screen in front of you. I don't really understand why that is. Like action films, you know, you've got your top quality action films.
John Wick and stuff like that, yeah.
This film reminds me that like, The Matrix does this so much better. And that's, you know, we might do The Matrix, who knows? But, you know, that's a high scoring film, I'd suggest. And then you've got your Steven Seagal kind of landfill contribution to cinema. And that might be a low scoring film. But, you know, you're able to differentiate between what's good and bad. And here it just seems to be, you know, no offense to my fellow hosts, I'm sure you can all put articulate cases together to disagree with me. But you just have to somebody's ever got some free pass on quality control, and all right, Wesley Snipes is okay in this, but a lot of them are just awful. Like, I just can't act. It's just unrealistic, formulaic nonsense. There you go. That's me on my high.
Well,
go on, Jack.
I was going to say, you know, Dom, you're definitely entitled to your opinion. I disagree with it being a one, because for me, a one is don't ever watch this movie. Like, if you're going to recommend it to somebody, I would say, you know, yeah, watch this movie. But personally, I probably wouldn't watch it again, you know. But a movie that's unwatchable, I would say I would consider a one, you know. But this one, I think it's watchable. I do think you're right. I mean, it could have been a better movie if they had a better director, they had a better writer, and maybe some better actors. But Wesley Snipes was very good. And I think, you know, some of the cast was pretty good. But yeah, it's just, you know, I think they wanted to make, like you said, like a Steven Seagal slash Van Damme kind of movie, action movie for the guys that would just bring them in there and get excited. But that's why they didn't focus that much on story or direction.
I don't want to sound like the sort of arsehole that can't enjoy a movie. Not everything has to be cinema. It doesn't all have to be thought-provoking and kind of life-changing and inspiring. I like to go to cinema and watch an entertaining film or a comedy. You know, it's a genre that we've not explored enough on this. And I know we talked about Dumb and Dumber and things last week with Jim Carrey. You know, I love that film. It doesn't all have to be high concept. Enjoy a good movie when I can switch off and have some beers as well. But for me, I thought it was lazy. It started okay. You know, some of the stuff perhaps is a bit unfair at this stage of the film, but boy, does it sag in the middle and then kind of slightly stops making sense you get into the film as well. So go on, Charlie. You tell me.
Amanda wanted to say.
Okay, two things. I've forgotten what the second one is.
We'll get there.
It was my mind, does that. Sorry, hormonal brain. For me, it was a little bit unrealistic. I don't know if that's the right word, because I've not really studied vampires, etc. But if you had a high realm of original vampires who were leading and controlling and governing the vampire community, you wouldn't expect what happened to them to have happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, these
what taken
these
over so
be,
easily, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. These should have been so much more powerful than the young lad, Stephen Dorff. He would never have got that far. You know,
yeah, that's why
these vampires, traditionally, as we've kind of been sort of led to believe, I know it's all fictional, but they're supposed to be very clever, articulate, cunning, you know, very intelligent beings, yet they were just lambs to the slaughter, effectively. And it was only the one guy that was heading them up that kind of put up some kind of fight against it, and then he was like taken out into the daytime and frazzled to death, and you're like, that wouldn't have happened. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why I said, you know, when I was talking about it, I thought there were a lot of idiots in this movie, that they couldn't see that. They should have just done away with him right away if he was a troublemaker. Mm. And usually, because that's how a vampire... Well, I guess because they're trying to portray the vampires in this movie more as businessmen that are trying to coexist with humankind.
Mm.
You know, so they're not like nasty, nasty vampires. They, you know, they want to stay out of the public eye. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, Amanda. I mean, they should have known right away.
My notes on this part of the film are, the vampire executive meeting is a little bit more interesting until some coked up little prick arrives, who sadly becomes the main character, because I didn't even recognize it was Stephen Dorff at first. such cliche stereotypes childish, and then it starts to lull, and then I've just put the actress is extremely unconvincing as a doctor. But yeah, he's like, what's he even doing in that room? How, what, it's just not explained.
Yes, why how did he just appear and then go, I'm taking over?
Aristocratic elder vampires, and then just some arsehole walks in off the street and like tells them they're all stupid and takes over their world, you know. I don't know, that's...
Especially that, at the end, you realise that the, inside each one of them is this flying creature, is, you know, the,
yeah.
And they're like, well, so you almost be pretty powerful then, you know, because you've got a demon inside you, and you know,
exactly.
But no, they fall over at the slightest waft of wind. They're over like a sack of spuds.
I think one of the funny bits for me, but it could have got a little bit tedious if they'd done it anymore, was the guy that kept getting his hand cut off.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do it. It's a third time.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh my God, really? That's, yeah, don't do it again.
See, what made Vampire Hunter D a better film is that the vampires were prejudiced against Vampire Hunter D, or D, because he was a half-breed of vampire and human. Yeah. Like, he was born from a human mother who was bitten by a vampire. But what happens is, it turns out at the end that his father was actually Dracula, you know, who was the main vampire. So if they would incorporate something like that into this movie, that the reason why he's so powerful is because he is the son of the most powerful vampire in the vampire universe.
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go back to...
But it's not, because it's Stephen Dorff's son.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that there's a wealth of stuff out there on Blade. And there's a wealth of things that he's done. When I read up on it, he first starred in a comic, The Tomb of Dracula, in 1973, where he's a supporting character. But the backstory is, he was born in Soho in 1929. And he was born in a brothel. His mother got into complications. They called the doctor. The doctor that came was Deacon Frost. And he ended up drinking it, you know, attacking her, and basically, you know, not killing her, as we know, but drinking her blood. So inadvertently, he ended up creating Blade. He was raised in the brothel until age 9. He saw an old man being attacked by 3 vampires, picks up his silver sword and kills all 3 of them. And then
why
the guy
has he got a silver sword?
Well, because it turns out that the old man was being attacked by the vampires because he's a vampire hunter. So he ends up taking in. I know we're going to go into the legalities of taking in a 9-year-old, but then he was living in a brothel. So, I mean, you know.
But he had access to weaponry as well.
Yeah, but it isn't Whistler, because Whistler only appeared the first time in a 1994 Spider-Man comic. So that's why the character of Whistler is in Blade, is because it turned out it was so popular 4 years before. But yeah, Blade was fighting Dracula, Dracula in the Darkholders, they were called. Sounds like a great band. But yeah, he was fighting them. He was on Doctor Strange's team. So there's all sorts of, so many different places you could go with Blade. But no, you're right. They end up going with this story. And in the film, if it ever gets made, that would be a good film. That would be a good way to try and introduce it into the Marvel, the MCU.
It's a bit more Batman, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Essentially,
I would say...
he sees some guy getting attacked and wants to kind of right the wrong and...
Yeah,
I would say for me, you know, in the comics, he's better in a group than he is individually, you know, kind of like how Ant-Man is with the Avengers. And I think he would work better in the MCU if he was just, he didn't have his own movie, but we knew he was Blade, he was part of a team. I did want to say one bullshit that kind of was in this movie that you kind
just
of mentioned.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, that he was using silver bullets to kill the vampires. That doesn't work against vampires, that works against werewolves.
True, yes. But surely there's some folklore somewhere that he was coating them in garlic or something.
Well, there's a lot of the vampire laws just abandoned, isn't it, about holy water and crosses. But come on, Charlie, I'm keen to hear from you. Like, we're sitting here kind of slagging off, and I feel like I'm dragging everyone down to my level of cynicism. You like the film, so talk to us about what you enjoy.
But probably, Barry, since you trailered it about 10 minutes ago, I've been thinking about it. I guess it's like, I grew up with comics. I grew up with not comics in the sense that Joe did, and certainly Jack on your podcast did as well, Joe. You know, I got the Eagle every Saturday morning to go down and get 2000 AD and the Eagle and just read that.
And we had the Beano and Dandy.
Yeah, Wizard and Chips for those that remember that.
And I had Buster, which was like a kind of a newish one in the 80s.
But
this is a long run up.
It's going to be very quick. And I'm kind of like looking for a superhero. I'm kind of looking for proper comic book, you know, superheroes to come along. And then you get Batman and you think, oh, okay, well, this is going in the right direction. This is all right. And then it's just so different because I knew nothing about Blade. The first time I saw it, it looked like it was kind of some of the scenes John Woo-ish, where it's all like slow-mo and, you know, and then he has his big, you know, jacket everywhere and it looks like a cape and things like that. And I guess you've got the Iron Man pose where he drops down and he does the Iron Man pose way ahead, 10 years before Robert Downey Jr. does it. And you're like, this is cool. It's got a bit of horror in there. Not much, really. But it was just different. And I think because I wasn't expecting... I don't know quite know what to expect. I think it just had an effect on me. And yeah, loved it since then.
And yeah, and fair play. You know, it's obviously a personal film to you and hence, you know, the tattoo as well. As speaking of somebody who's also about to get a tattoo, a new tattoo shortly as well, I can kind of definitely relate to that. So yeah, I wanted it to be more enjoyable than it was. But here's a scene that was problematic for me. Okay, well, that I know we're skipping around the narrative a little bit, but that bit where they discover that kind of really obese blob type creature and then proceed to torture it. I wasn't even sure if it's a man or a woman. All right, you can say that plays with ideas about what good and evil is because they're performing torture, but they do it really gleefully. And that doctor, you know, who's a medical professional allegedly, just joins in at the drop of a hat, burning this person alive with a UV.
Yeah, she seemed to take great pleasure in that. Yeah,
first do no harm. And he's like, yep, give me that thing.
Yeah, first opportunity to torture somebody to death. Oh, you know, roll my sleeves up and get stuck in there.
What was that creature?
I just put some sub Jabba the Hutt style.
What was it doing there?
He's
what
probably like Ringclaw, like from Dracula, like where, you know, kind of a servant to
couldn't really the vampires.
No, he's a fat fuck, you know.
Just reminded me of some of those people you occasionally send to us on the WhatsApp group, Joe, some things that I can't unsee, frankly. But yeah. Well, at least they didn't try and fuck it, didn't they? They just tortured it to death, so that was good.
What about the plot? What about the plot for the Blood God? I mean, you might think it went all wrong, and it could have been done better. And you're probably right; it could have been done better. But
let me just get my cynical comment out of the way, and you lot can tell me the good points about it. But there's a brilliant classic Austin Powers moment, isn't there, right in that scene where just shoot her. No, I'm going to put her in an easily escapable situation and then just assume that she's dead. And it's like, that also preempts the Austin Powers series. So that made me smile as I was watching that. But yeah, anyway, I've slagged it off enough.
No, how didn't he figure out when he was down there that you could do, you know, you could get some bones and do that?
But to be fair,
did he not ever try it?
He was half dead, I think. Was he some sort of zombie? But yeah, it wasn't the world's trickiest situation to get out of, really, was it?
This is the thing about vampires. I thought they could, like, you know, suspend themselves on the ceiling and, you know,
Lost Boys vampires. they're different.
Have we got different varieties of vampire then?
Well, I guess everybody has their own lore in regards to vampires in this movie, but yeah, I just felt like, again, when they were doing the ritual and Blade's blood was flowing into the crevices and all that, I was like, it's not working, because there was no pomp and circumstance. It was just like, well, blood's flowing through the stones and it's coming down, and I felt like that was a problem, because to me it just seemed like, well, it didn't work, you know. But then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it worked. And I think part of that was the budget The CGI, like I said, was awful. That part when Stephen Dorff was ripped in half and the blood was clinging his lower torso to his upper body, that was a joke.
It was like The Abyss had never been made, or Terminator 2. It's like they'd never got some good special effects. I mean, the budget had run out because they could have done a lot better with that. It was very shonky.
Shonky. It's been a few pods since we heard that word, which, as we established, is indeed a legitimate word. But
it is, even though Joe still doesn't believe us.
I never said that. I believe you.
Okay.
I think for 2 hours it was too long, but it also feel like the ending was rushed.
I just call it to mind. I was watching Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and I'm like, if Joe had problems with previous films that we sent him, I'm like, all right, keep your Allens on. Not when you've got Liberia's deficit in your skyrocket. Anything to you, Joe?
I've watched that movie several times, and I just accept it as that's something that they say. I have no idea what they're saying, but it's like, whatever. It must be an insult.
let's not go too far down that road, because I'm hoping somebody chooses Lockstock on this season. So you never know.
Thank you. Better than Trainspotting. Already made that clear.
I'm sorry. I keep on torpedoing our viewer numbers and listener subscriptions by my choice of film. I have got some more popular ones.
Trainspotting was quite popular. We've had the trip into the 90s has gone really well. Yeah, it was a good decision. Collected decision.
We are trying to keep this one shorter. We've had some feedback that an hour is our target for this pod. So if you enjoy an hour, if that's your commute or your run, whatever it is, then let us know. Give us your feedback, because we had a good 10-minute discussion that nearly turned into an argument before we started recording today about what the pod should look like. So yeah, we'd welcome any listener feedback.
It didn't. There's a lot of love in the room. Don't listen to Dom.
It got tetchy.
Right, yeah, I think this is actually probably a good time. It's like 51 minutes where we can wrap this up.
We're not wrapping it up just yet, because
I hear about next week's film. That's my favorite part of the pod.
Here we go. Joe, you've picked some absolute belters.
I feel like I've got us there too quick. Look, before we conclude on this film, like, I feel this is why we used to give the scores at the end, because we could listen to one of those opinions. I feel like I've dragged us down a bit. Are you standing by your 8, your 6, and your 5?
Yes.
You're not going to give another 2 marks, no?
I did Joe's comment about a 1 is unwatchable. That kind of did resonate a little bit. So it's not unwatchable, but I definitely wouldn't recommend it. And for me, it was just lazy filmmaking. So I'll go 1.5. So there you go.
I thought you were going to say 2.
I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Take your half. If you would have said 2, that's okay.
1.5.
On the record, I'm proud of my 1.5.
I don't care about your half. No, forget it.
Amanda, what are you scoring this film? Just you share.
Well, I told you at the start, 6.
Okay, no, I thought you might. You said it's an above average film. Fine, okay, despite all of your comments throughout.
It's still watchable. I'd probably watch it again.
I'd love to know your...
Not anytime soon, but I would watch it again.
Six, we watched Blade 2.
Watchable.
Yeah, I'll watch Blade 2. I'll watch Blade 3.
No, don't. There's no such film. It doesn't exist. By all means, watch Blade 3, but there are better things to do.
You can just stare at something. It's got some wrestler guy in it, hasn't it? Blade 3.
It's got Deadpool in it. It's got Ryan Reynolds in it.
Oh, definitely watch that then.
Oh, no, that's not a draw. No, it's not. He's awful. Everyone's awful in it.
You mean Deadpool?
No. I mean, Deadpool's amazing. Blade Trinity with Ryan Reynolds is not.
Oh, okay.
Because Blade takes a back seat in that film. And I'm like, what? Anyway, right. So, yeah, we're still keeping it on the sweet spot, despite the fact that I rambled away. I feel like I need to put some sort of drum roll in for the next film that we'll be doing. I'm going to wince slightly because you did say at the start that it might split the room. But here we go.
So the problem is we only have 4 films to choose from this year. And there's so many good films in the 90s. And I did want to make you guys suffer and watch Forrest Gump again, but I can't do it because there's just so many good movies out there. I still think Forrest Gump is a good movie, decent movie.
That would be one we should discuss. So I'm sorry you changed your mind, Joe, but I am intrigued.
oh, there's going to be a twist. He's going to change his mind back. No?
No, I mean, not today. But I will say, again, there were so many good movies. It's just so hard to pick from. But I was discussing this film with my nephew recently. I was trying to convince him to watch it. It was like one of my favorite Westerns. Unforgiven.
Yeah, sound choice there.
Who's in that one?
From what I remember,
Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman, and Gene Hackman.
Oh, old school then.
Yeah. Wow,
and he's got a lot of Oscar bait in there too.
Yeah, but see, that's a great film for this podcast.
Mm. Well, what a contrast. I mean, hopefully that's what our audience like. So we'll go from Blade to Unforgiven. And I did say earlier in this pod I didn't like Westerns, but I think good Westerns are worth watching. I have seen it, but I can't remember it, so I'm looking forward to rewatching that. Unfortunately, I like to watch these films sometimes, this pod, with my children, but it's absolutely zero chance. It's quite a long film, isn't it, that they'll watch that. So, yeah, good luck trying to keep that under an hour next week then. Oh, in 2 weeks, Charlie.
Two weeks' time, yes, indeed. Off to sunny Woolacombe. Yeah.
Well, hopefully. That. There'll be some sun.
Oh, it's always sunny, even when it's raining. It's a lovely place.
It's Easter for us, Easter. So yeah.
Love,
yeah.
Devon.
Beautiful. Right, so on that note, Joe, as you have a podcast yourself, do you want to just have a quick promote
podcast? Yeah, I do the podcast WDWNT Nerd Alert, and we basically discuss a lot of Marvel and Disney properties like Marvel and Star Wars, but we also go into DC and other comic book properties. And we haven't been happy much with what Disney's doing with Marvel and Star Wars, so that's kind of like what we talk about lately. But we have a good time, and it's a fun podcast, I would say, most of the time.
It's a cracking podcast. You're just doing March Madness at the moment, which I'm about halfway through. It is amazing. You got a quick praise of what you're doing with March Madness.
Oh, it's just we're doing like our favorite comic book movie, similar to what's going on right now at March Madness with the NCAA college basketball. But we're putting like our favorite movies in there for superhero movies. And it's fun.
Good discussion. Really good.
Yep. Some sort of like knockout tournament to decide the winner. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I'll be interested in hearing that. And maybe I'll discover one that can change my mind about the whole genre. So yeah,
superhero movies get an easy ride.
They do.
Well, on that bombshell, right? Okay, well, we kept it nicer, like a crocodile sandwich, kept it nice and snappy. So I'm gonna finish off and gonna say cheerio.
See ya. Bite me.
No thanks, doodle pip.
Bye.